Well, good morning, Calvary Church family. Trust you're doing well this morning. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 5. This is a day I have been waiting for because I've never preached this passage before, ever. Never had cause to. And you're going to find out why very shortly. Because as we come to Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is absolutely livid. Like, he is off the charts, ticked off. He is angry. He is fuming. He's mad because he's mad about these false teachers that have come in and they've added to the gospel. And they brought in, basically, once you do any changing to the gospel, you have no gospel at all. And that's what we've been discovering in our study. And today's one of those interesting passages because Paul's fuming. He's ticked off. Like, red hot. Have you ever been there? And so even today, there's parts, I can go back to numerous times in my life when I have just been ticked. And God has brought me in a long ways. Stacy will tell you, God has brought me in my anger a long ways. And there's just parts. Paul is just fuming mad. And so even as I was preparing this message today, I'm trying to sit back and to think of stories. And literally while we were on the Ark encounter, I thought of this great one. And some of it, this is a moment actually when I didn't lose it, but my football coach did. I want to bring up his picture. So this is Art Kissick. Art was my football coach in high school. And Coach Kissick, he didn't usually yell at everybody, but only those that were team captains, team leaders, or if you had a gift. He would yell at everybody, but he would really reserve a whole nother level of anger for the team leaders. Because if you're not pulling your weight, if you're not doing things that is preventing continually, he would get on you. And I can specifically remember this one practice where we were doing, and we were on offense, so I was a tight end in high school, which is at the end of the offensive line. And I remember I kept missing, either turning the wrong way or I was missing my blocking assignment, and he just was like, he had it. Because it's like, you obviously haven't been studying your playbook, you haven't been doing the video study. I mean, he is just starting to yell at me. He is ticked off. Well, he starts yelling at me so loud. Hulbert, I can still remember that part, real easy. Hulbert! And next thing you know, he's starting to, and then his pitch changed. Because the next thing I know, as he's yelling at me, his front plate of dentures, and this is why I like this picture, his whole top part of his plate of his teeth came flying out. So we had a grass practice field, and so he's yelling at me, and you kind of wanted to start to laugh, but then I didn't want to do wind sprints. And I just, so I'm like trying not to laugh, but the coach bends over and he's picking up his teeth and he's still yelling at me. He's shaking those teeth at me and pops them in. Well, then there's blades of grass still sticking out, you know, from it. And you kind of wanted to tell him, but it's like, nope. And you just kind of, well, this is the purpose. I mean, it's a perfect illustration of where Paul's at. Because Paul is fuming mad. And it didn't matter if his front plate of his dentures had popped out. He is livid. And so as we come to our passage this morning, and what I want to lead us into is we're going to look at a few verses, verses 7 through 12. And you're going to look at this passage, and trust me, there's going to be parts of this that you're going to be like, that's in the Bible. You're going to have conversations with people this week going, hey, what did you learn at church this week? Or you can bring up, hey, I learned something very interesting at church this week. And trust me, you'll have an interesting conversation. But look at it. Verse 7. You were running the race so well. Who has held you back from following the truth? It certainly isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. And we talked about that last week. Verse 9, this false teaching is like little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. I'm trusting the Lord to keep you from believing false teachings. God will judge that person, whoever he is, who's been confusing you. So like he's building. He goes, "Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, why am I still being persecuted? If I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. I just wish that the troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves." Wow. See, this is strong language. It's not every day you go to church and you hear from the Bible, "I hope people would cut off parts of their private parts." So to be honest, honestly, I've never preached this passage, and now you know why, from this verse. But today, I believe that as we look at this, this gives us a fresh take of God's grace on our lives, because there's so much to be gained if we do. So look at, and what I want to do is I just want to go back through these verses, verses 7 through 12, bring up a couple observations, and we'll close out today. Verse 7, "You are running the race so well. Who has held you back from the truth?" So Paul's telling the Galatians, "You are doing so well." And Paul liked using sports analogies in his writings. And you could look back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, when he talked about running. And look at it, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. "Don't you realize that in the race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All the athletes are disciplined in their training, and they do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize." See, Paul loved that analogy of running. So when we come to Galatians, somebody's cut you off. And what he's saying is somebody's holding back truth from you, and you're running this race. And who's held back this truth from you? It's these false teachers. They've cut in. They brought in this plus faith with circumcision, plus Jewish rituals that would equal salvation. And Paul says, and he wanted us to be fully aware that it's by God's grace alone, by faith in Jesus alone. You can't add anything to it. And he continues on in verse 8, "It certainly isn't God, for he's the one who has called you to freedom." See, Paul makes it very clear. God didn't add this. God never made this part of the deal that you have to do these man-driven rituals or acts. All along, this story has been God-driven. It's supernatural. God would send his son to pay the price for our sin. It is God who will initiate the action. There is nothing that we bring to the party other than to our faith and trust in him and what Jesus has done, what Jesus has provided. You stand on that. Adding to the gospel makes it no gospel at all, and God's calling you to freedom. He doesn't want you bound back by rituals that are so deep and so long that it fills books. He wants you to have a short leash, that you have a short line with God himself. That it's not built on your performance, but it's built on the performance of what Jesus did for us. It's huge. He's wanted you to have a confidence, so it's when you're praying for healing, you don't have to go through these countless acts to see healing. It's received by faith, the same way you receive your salvation. You want to see more of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. It's the same faith. It's the same starting point. God, I just trust in you alone. Do your work. Keep creating in your work in me. Develop that work in my life. Paul didn't want anyone to get caught up in mindless things that would detract them from the specialness that God wanted to bring in their life. Look at verse 9. This false teaching is like little yeast that spreads through the whole batch of dough. And Paul is making a great simple point to the simple proverb that a little yeast affects the total. And so it does with the gospel. When you add to it, it affects the totality of it. And these false teachers are saying that you have to be circumcised, that you have to do this plus your faith in Jesus in order to be a believer. And Paul's saying, that's not true. That is so wrong. And it's not that he was against circumcision, but Paul is saying when you're bringing it into salvation, there is no way, when you're bringing it into how you are justified before God, you are perverting the gospel, you're creating a gospel that's not a gospel, and you're bringing people into bondage. And it is a reminder from Paul that it is by Jesus on the cross only. And see, the enemy would love, the devil would love to get us caught up into having to do all these things in order to make God happy with us. The enemy would love for you to get tripped up that there's so many things. There's no way God could love me just for who I am. I have to do something more, right? In order to be acceptable before God. And Paul is saying, no. And this is why he's fuming, ticked off. Is there is nothing more you need to do for God to love you anymore. He loves you for how God has created you. You don't have to change for anyone else but for him. And he's saying, and Paul's like, don't miss the boat. Don't miss this, because this yeast of this false teaching, it affects the whole thing. It just, you can't keep it quadrated in a quadrant, if I could ever talk. Back to my coach dentures. There's parts, you can't stop it from affecting the whole thing. And Paul is wanting to make sure that we capture the depth and the love that God really is expressing through the gospel. So why do we pray? Why do we give money? Why do we tithe? Why do we do offerings? As Pastor Stacy said earlier, why do we give of our time as part of Calvary Church? It's because we love God. And we want to do in all things expression, even to our finances, to our talents, to our personalities, to our giftings. We want to honor him for what he's doing in us. And that's it. The motive isn't for others to see. The motive is to be a reflection of what God's doing within me. Why do I love to be a pastor? Because it's a continuation of what God's doing inside of me. Because he's called me to this role. And God has called you to a role and to a place that is no different in this sense, that God wants to express his work, his love in and through your life, through your giftings, through your talents, through your unique personality. God will place you in your employment to be on mission for him. It's such a wonderful, wonderful part. And this is why Paul gets fuming. When we look at verse 10, look at it. I'm trusting that the Lord to keep you from believing these false teachings, and God will judge that person, whoever he is, who's been confusing you. See, two things strike me in this verse that we'll see here is Paul's very, very clearly, he's trusting in, is that if you stop and think, you'll be reminded of what God's done for you. Paul's pretty confident. It's like, hey, if you take a moment, I want you to retrack how has God led you in your life. From that very moment you've given your heart to him, how has he been there? Because you will discover that he has been there for you every single time. And secondly, Paul's very confident that the false teachers are going to pay the penalty that they face when they meet God. They may not face it here on earth, but they will face it. There will be a day of reckoning. And why are all these false teachers doing what they do? We've seen it in Galatians. We saw it, and we'll look at it. In fact, look at it in verse 12. Paul gives us this. He goes, those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. In other words, their motivation is, I want to look spiritual. I want to look good. I want to look a certain part. And that's concerning. But go on, they don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. In other words, they start taking a safe road out. They pervert the gospel because they don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to stand out. It's one of the greatest parts of our previous role with Youth Alive was challenging students. God's not made you, and he's not called you so that you'd hide in your shell when you're in your school campus. But God's created you to be a world changer, and he's done that for all of us, is that he has brought us to a point that we stand strong in our faith and that we walk, not trying to hide the light that God has, but here's the part, we will create persecution at points. We will be persecuted for our faith. And we need to not be dismayed by it and not dissuaded, but man, we need to walk confidently to know that when we really walk true Jesus, there'll be persecution. See, these false teachers wanted to end run that. They would do something that would please a crowd. They would go to a point that it wouldn't tick off government, but they could run with the religious leaders and people would be like, eh, I can kind of go with it. Don't go with the crowd. Go to the one who has called you by his wonderful grace and will lead you and will guide you. Look at verse 11. Let's back one verse. Dear brothers and sisters, if I were still preaching that you must be circumcised, as some say I do, so there was even an accusation that Paul's been preaching this. Paul's like, you're nuts. He goes, why am I still being persecuted? In other words, he's making a point here. Why am I still being persecuted if I'm doing what they do? I am preaching nothing but Jesus and him crucified. That's it. And he starts to unpack here. He goes, if I were no longer preaching salvation through the cross of Christ, no one would be offended. But here's the deal. When we live real Jesus, the story of the cross, and it's so interesting today how it becomes even bigger, and it just continually, every year, it feels like it's amping up more and more, that people will say, oh, Christians, you're offensive. You'll hear it in the political discourse today. Even when people are talking about Charlie Kirk now, these month later, oh, he's offensive. They'll say Christians are offensive, and what's the offensive part? It's really coming down to this, the really challenging part of this. And what they will say, the offensive part is the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross says your life is so lost, it's so messed up, your best day is so filthy and unrighteous, you have no chance to save yourself, that God had to pay the debt. God had to send his son to die to pay that debt. See, our responses are often points when we look at ourselves, too many of us would look at and say, well, I'm not too bad. But it's hard to accept the free gift, and that's what makes people stumble. When they look at Christianity, they look at the free side of it, and they're like, yeah, but there's got to be more. There's more I've got to do. But when we realize we're spiritually bankrupt and we have nothing to offer, otherwise we've missed the point. In spite of myself and our sin, God loves us and he wants a relationship with you. And it's all about God's grace. Because of how? Because of the lengths he went to demonstrate his love to us. Sending his son to die a death that we deserved. It's why Paul was so intense on these false teachers. Let's get to verse 12. I just wish those troublemakers. I want to mutilate you by circumcision. Would just mutilate themselves. Paul is angry. He is fired up. And by far, as we've looked in Galatians, this isn't the first time. Let's retrack a couple of them. Galatians 1, verse 8. May God's curse fall on anyone, including an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one that's been preached to you. These are strong words. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Don't often hear this in a church message, do you? But Paul's ticked. This is a tickable thing that should have all of us fuming. Look at Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? In other words, who's been dissuading you? Who's been perverting you? Who has, and in some translations it says, who's bewitched you? Like cast a spell on you. Look at verse 2. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the laws of Moses? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Jesus Christ. Verse 3. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you trying to become perfect by your own human effort? See, this is Paul. He's just fuming mad, and he looks at the Galatians, and it's like, how foolish can you be? You might be going on, did Paul go too far by saying, I wish you had just mutilate yourselves to the false teachers? You might be going, man, Paul's a little, maybe he's a little too ticked off that his words got away from him. Well, let me challenge you with this. Jesus got upset too. And he had some similar responses to religious leaders. Let me share them with you. Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, beautiful but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Wow. Strong words from our Savior. He goes on, verse 28, outwardly you look like righteous people, but inwardly your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Ouch. One more. Verse 33, same chapter. He calls them snakes, sons of vipers. It's the same group of religious leaders that eventually Paul will say are here. How will you escape judgment from hell? Man. So they both, Paul and Jesus, they're worked up because both realize this, is that God loves you so much. The message of the gospel can't be changed, and people are falling into a religious trap that makes the heart of the gospel gutted if you add to it at all. So no matter what you've done, the mistakes you've made in your life, no matter how far you feel like you've messed up, here's the great news today. God promises a new start every time you believe in him. When you surrender your life to him and you let him change you from the inside out. Worship team, if you'll come. See, this is Paul fuming mad at the false teachers because he so desperately wants us to even know today that grace is, that his grace reaches out to bring us to him. It reaches out to us, but it also keeps us. It'll sustain you. For every believer, you've been walking with the Lord for years. I want you to hear this today. You need to hear this. It's a great reminder that this grace not only saves you, but it sustains you. That grace will be your strength to get through anything you face this week. Whatever the huge mountain might be, just know when we go back in grace by faith in Jesus alone, he will come through, he will carry you, he will sustain you no matter what you face. This is great news. Is there is nothing that could come against us in a week that we cannot, in our trust in Jesus and him alone, will not sustain us through. He will carry us to the very end of our race of life. This is the wonderful promise that we have, is that we have a Savior that goes with us through everything. And Paul is fuming mad at the false teachers who would do anything to pervert that message. And so one of the great things that we can know today is our God is not angry with us today. Our God is so madly, and he, trust me, when I say that, I am in no way wanting to discount God's righteousness or his holiness, because that is just as equal to his love. But he put all his wrath on his son, Jesus Christ, so that on that Christ, on that cross, everything would be crucified, all of it. So that when we trust in him and what Jesus did alone, on that moment, at that place, God provided it all. And he wants you to hold on to that. Because when you hold on to that and you walk in it, you will find victory. You will find companionship. You will find strength. You will find a grace that just is amazing. It's grace. that becomes a firm foundation, which is all about what this book is about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. God, I thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, which is the best news ever. That we have a God that wants us to see and to know that he is our Heavenly Father. He's a dad that we can approach at any moment. That you're not angry with your children, but you delight in them, and you have created us for a purpose and a plan that you want to unfold in our life. But it's only when we turn to you that we and truly trust on what your son did for us that we will find that freedom. It's not a system of rules, but God, it's a faith that we trust in you. Lord, I pray today that the truth that we're hearing will just continue to penetrate our hearts, penetrate our faith. God, may it permeate our minds, our thoughts. Lord, help us to walk with you, to see grace-filled living in every part of our life. That we would be people that would recognize the grace at work within us. God, we can't give what we've not received. So God, continue to work your grace in and through our life. And Father, I pray for those here who are here today that are away from you. Whether they're here or online, that Father, there's a place that they just realize you are not the number one thing in their life. And God, they've allowed other things to crowd you out. And God, whether it be a first time or a rededication, God, I pray, let that call and that drawing be done by your Holy Spirit this morning. That we would be drawn to you today because of your grace. God, I pray, may they come to you today. May they receive that grace in this very moment. With every head bowed, I just have to ask this question if you're here today. And I pray that you hear God's heart to you today. Is there is a God who loves you, who's for you. But if you're here today and you're unsure where you're at in your relationship with God, like, how would you answer the question, if you were to die today, do you know for certain that you'd go to heaven? Is there any vagueness? If you're going, oh, I think I'd be okay because of things I've done, you've missed it. It's by having faith in Jesus alone. So if you're here today and you are unsure where you stand with him, whether it's been for a first time that you're understanding this, or maybe you realized, man, I've really walked away from this grace and faith alone in Jesus. I've walked away from it, and I need to surrender, rededicate myself to him. If that's you today, I want to pray with you. If that's you, would you just look my direction? I'm going to start off my right, your left, and I'm just going to kind of go across the room. If that's you today, just look my way. Thank you. Is there anyone else today? Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. Wonderful. I want all of us to say this. So if this is your heart today to reconnect to our Heavenly Father, that faith of trusting in him begins like a prayer, but that faith is just that trust in him. And here's how it can be shared. And I just encourage you to pray this prayer with me because we're directing it to our Heavenly Father. But I want everyone to join this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for your grace, for giving me your love and not your wrath. Forgive me of my sins, of doing life my own way. Come into my life, lead it, and be my Savior. I trust only by what Jesus did on the cross for me. Thank you for grace. Transform me. Change me from the inside out. I give all myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I just want to encourage you, would you do one of two things? There's a tear-off portion on the bulletin. They could just let us know that you prayed that prayer because we want to be able to walk that grace life that new relationship with you. So please do that, or you can use the QR code. There's a QR code on the seat back in front of you that you could give us that information. And if you need a Bible, would you see Pastor Stacy, Pastor Aaron, or myself before you leave here today? We would love to get you a Bible. And especially because that, trust me, God's words is going to be what will help you grow and continue to grow in your relationship with Him. That's why we preach verse by verse. It's we are just a church that's committed to know our God and to make Him known. And we want to do that with you.